Two balls and two strikes on him. Here's the pitch on the way. A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it. The Blue Jays are World Series champions as Joe Carter hits a three-run home run in the ninth inning, and the Blue Jays have repeated as World Series champions. Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your
life. Hello and welcome to Episode 3 of Touch 'Em All, a baseball analytics podcast. This is the official podcast of TouchEmAllAnalytics.com. My name is Caleb Whittemore. I am the founder and executive editor at Touch 'Em All Analytics. Today we're going to get into a couple of different things. I'm going to start off with a listener question we had from the last episode. Then we're going to go into the pro baseball scouting scale and how that pertains to analytics. And then in our This Week in Baseball segment, I'm going to break down the playoff race in the American League West. So to start off, we did have a listener question from last week. He asked, where does Mike Trout stack up in the UZR rankings? So UZR, like I talked about last week, is a defensive statistic that kind of gives an overall picture of performance. If you don't know what UZR is, I'd suggest you pause this, go ahead and listen to episode 2, and then come back and start off here. So overall, Mike Trout is 63rd in UZR. That is out of all positions, so that's not just center fielders. If you want to just look at center fielders, Trout is 12th. I know that sounds a little low for a guy who's typically known to be a both offense and defense guy, but if you look at the names ahead of him, it's guys like Lorenzo Cain, Jackie Bradley, Billy Hamilton, Ender Inciarte, Kevin Pillar, Manny Margot, just to name a few. So it's really not as average, I would say, as it sounds, because there are a lot of elite center fielders in the game right now. He is a very solid defensive center fielder, and when you factor in what he brings offensively, it's even more impressive. So thank you for the question. Everybody else, you know, if you have any questions from this episode or other episodes, please send them through social media or email them to me. I'd love to answer them as well. So now that we got that out of the way, we're going to go ahead and look at the Pro Baseball Scouting Scale. So the scouting scale is used by all MLB scouts to rate professional and amateur players. This is everything from high school guys to college guys they may draft, to the minors seeing who may be ready for a call-up, to even competitive guys you're competing against, whether it's just rating them for your own use or if you're looking for a trade possibly, or just kind of finding players' overall value. So the scale uses a 20 to 80 scaling system. In this system, 50 is average, 20 would be the worst, 80 would be the best. A couple other terms, anything under 50 obviously is below average. Anything under 30 is considered organizational. 35 would be a emergency call-up player, not necessarily a big league player. 40 would be a below average bench player / AAA call-up guy. 45 is overall considered below average. That could be platoon utility kind of player, maybe a number 5 starter. 50, which is average, is just kind of an average big league regular, whether that could be a guy like your 7 hitter in the lineup, 6-7 hitter in the lineup, maybe your 4 starting pitcher. 55 is considered above average. That could be, you know, an above average hitter, or, you know, like a 3 or 4, not great 3 starting pitcher or a 4 starting pitcher. 60 is where you start to get called what's called plus, and that's where you get into the really talented players. A plus guy is going to be a guy in the middle of your order, usually like a number 3 guy, maybe you're like your closer if it's a reliever. And 65 is between, then 65 to 70 is plus plus. That's going to be like an all-star / like even maybe like top 10, top 5 player. You know, that's going to be your high threes, really your ones and twos. And 75, 80 are just called their numbers. They're the best players in the game. Future Hall of Famers, you know, top 5 players in the game. They're going to be your number 1 starters, your cleanup hitters, and even in those categories, they're going to be the best of the best in them. So I hope the way I explain that makes sense. If you play like video games or something like that, you know, you have your overall ratings for sports video games between 1 and 100. It is the same idea, essentially. The person who invented the scale decided to go 20 to 80 instead of 0 to 100, making 50 kind of the medium. And that's kind of what you shoot for. You want your MLB team to be 50s or better if you're going to be a championship team, essentially. So now I'm going to break down some of the numbers. Let's start with WAR. For any of you who don't know, who haven't heard me talk or read what I've written about WAR, WAR is a number that decides how many wins you're responsible for above a replacement level player. So a guy 35-30 is going to be a negative WAR player. A 40-45 guy is going to be just above zero. The average regular may give you two wins. A 50 guy, a number 50 guy may give you two wins. 60 is going to give you about three wins. 70 may give you up to like five wins. And then an 80 guy is the guys that are going to give you 7-plus WAR. So the guys like Mike Trout or Mookie Betts, the guys who are going to factor for a lot of WAR. In terms of batting average isn't the greatest stat anymore, but they do still use it to measure scouting scales, so you can kind of get an idea of what they're saying. So a guy who is projected to be a 30 player in the MLB is going to be a guy who hits like 220. A guy who is a 40 player is going to hit about 240. A 50 player is going to hit like 260. That's right around average. A 60 player is going to hit like 280. 70 players are going to be the guys hitting 300 above. And the 80 guys are going to be the guys hitting like 320 to, you know, anything above there. So that's going to be how you measure the hit tool. There are five tools for position players. Those are run, field, arm, hit, and hit for power. So the batting average, that's going to correlate to whatever number that's going to be like their hit tool, right? Hit for power is obviously like the amount of home runs you can hit, more than average. Field is your jumps on balls, your glove work, your overall defensive prowess. Arm is going to be your arm strength, so that's going to be really important in places like, you know, third base, right field, even shortstop, catcher. And then your run grade is just going to be your overall speed. So like I said, one of the grades for position players is hit for power. So the 30 grade guys are going to be the guys who are going to hit over a whole season less than five home runs. 40 guys are going to hit less than 12. 50 guys are going to hit like the 15 to 18 range. The 60 guys are going to hit in the 20s up to like 27 or so. The 70 guys are going to be the 30 to 35 home run guys. And the 80 grade players are going to be the players hitting 40 plus home runs a year. Maybe even like 45 plus home runs a year now. So fielding and arm, you can't judge with simple stats. You can still judge speed that way. In like a 60-yard dash, per se, 7.4 is about a 30 grade. A 40 grade is about a 7.2. 50 grade is like a 6.9 to 7. A 60 grade is going to be a 6.7. 70 is going to be a 6.5. And an 80 would be a 6.3. With pitchers, it's a little more difficult to grade them. You grade them on each one of their pitches on the 20 to 80, and then their command. Some people grade command out for each pitch. Some people grade it out just total. I usually just grade their command overall and then each pitch individually. So the only thing you can really use a metric to grade out for pitchers is their fastball velocity. So fastball velocity is going to be 30 is going to be a guy who's throwing 86 or below, you know, nothing special. 40 grade player is going to be tossing about 88. 50 grade is going to be tossing like 90 to 91. 60 grade, 93 or so. 70 is going to be up at 95. 80 grade is going to be those guys who can consistently bring it at 97, you know, to even up through 100. So I hope that makes sense. If you have any other questions about the scouting scale, I know it's a little confusing. Definitely email me. Hit me up on social media. There's a contact us section on the website that you can contact us through. So, you know, any of those outlets, definitely I want to hear your questions, comments, let me know. Also, I have a article in the works. I'm not sure when it's going to be out, but my next article through my blog on the website called Analytics by the Editor is going to be an in-depth breakdown of the scouting scale. So if this wasn't enough for you, or maybe you learn better through reading, definitely check that out as well. So in our This Week in Baseball segment, I'm going to break down the AL West race for the playoffs. So that really includes three teams at this point. Those teams are the Houston Astros, the Oakland Athletics, and the Seattle Mariners. So start off, the Astros are leading the division at 74-48 with a 60 win percentage. The Athletics are a game behind them. The Mariners are 4.5 games behind them. Obviously, that makes Oakland and Seattle also in the wild card race. Oakland currently holds the second wild card position behind the Yankees, and Seattle is 3.5 games out of the wild card. So they're all still definitely in it, still in August. We have plenty of baseball left. The Astros have been considered the favorite since day one. We'll go ahead and look at them first. Coming off a World Series victory last year, obviously everyone expects them to make the playoffs. But the division and, in fact, the playoffs in general are not a given at this point for them. As much as everybody kind of thinks they've gone away and hid, they really haven't. Their numbers overall are good, being the best team in their division. If you go ahead and look at WAR, essentially every player on their team is responsible for a positive wins above replacement this year. That is incredible. If you look at weighted runs created plus, they currently have 9 guys who are above average. So that's, you know, not great, but solid. Obviously, they have a guy like Alex Bregman, who's played great for them at a 150 WRC+. And Jose Altuve is great every year at 139. Pitching-wise, it's been Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander, Charlie Morton, and Dallas Keuchel, all being kind of their dominant guys, with even a guy like Lance McCullough sitting above 2 wins above replacement. They currently have 10 pitchers who have pitched for them who are averaging a strikeouts per 9 inning over 10. So they're definitely getting a lot of strikeouts, as most of the league is. If you look at their team stats overall, batting, they're hitting .254 as a team with an average of 109 WRC+. So that's 9% above average. It's very good for an overall team. They are only walking 9% of the time with a 20% strikeout rate. It's not great, but definitely not bad. And the other interesting thing, if you look at their offense to defense numbers, their offense is definitely carrying the load for them. Their team-wide defensive statistics are not great. They have a negative UZR as a team. Their pitching has been very good, allowing just right around 3 runs a game and striking out close to 11 batters a game. So very good pitching and hitting for the Astros. Their defense has been less than desirable this year, which is surprising for some of the names on that team, guys like Alex Bregman or Carlos Correa or Jose Altuve. Some of them have battled injuries, but you still kind of, at least me personally, if I was just thinking about the Astros, I'd say, yeah, they're a good defensive team. The metrics do not say that. So the second team in this race I want to look at is the Oakland Athletics. Oakland has been led this year by the one and only Matt Chapman. He is responsible for 5.5 of their wins above replacement with 140 WRC+, hitting .278, slugging .505. Definitely needs to be getting on base a little more, but overall had a great season, great defensively. They're another team who essentially has everybody in the positive WAR, so 0 or better WAR. Nobody's really hurting them. I've talked about Jed Lowry a few times in my articles and how I think he was a steal for them with what they're paying him. He's definitely contributed this season. Their pitching staff has definitely been the low light of the team. Not awful, but not great. You know, like I said, the Astros had 4 or 5 guys, 2+ WAR. The Athletics only have 1 pitcher with 2+ WAR. But having said that, as a team, they have a 20 UZR, which is very good. That's like they're essentially averaging to be a Gold Glove caliber player, an All-Star caliber defender. You know, so Gold Gloves all around for them. Pitching doesn't need to be great when your defense is that amazing. Obviously, a guy like Matt Chapman has turned some head. One other thing I want to touch on is their overall offensive numbers. They're only hitting .250, but they do have a WRC plus of 106. So right in the same range as the Astros. Both of them are solid hitting teams. The difference is the Athletics are winning on the defensive side by their pure defensive skill, where the Astros are winning because of their pitching. And then the third team, who was kind of the surprise for most of the year, is the Seattle Mariners. Obviously, they had the narrative. They had a negative run differential for a while while still winning a lot of games. They were winning a lot of close games, getting ridiculously lucky, some would say. But they're still in it. They do need to turn it around. They haven't played great of late. But nonetheless, they still have a shot for sure. Overall, all but about five guys who have stepped in the box for them have had a zero or better WAR. The only notable players who have had any substantial at-bats that don't have positive WAR for them is Ryan Healy and Guillermo Heredia. Pitching-wise is solid, kind of in between the two. They have guys like James Paxton, who's having a good season. Marco Gonzalez is having a good season. Edwin Diaz is obviously very good out of the bullpen. Unfortunately, they haven't got much from a guy like Felix Hernandez, who's been such an important piece for a long time for them. Wade LeBlanc's another guy who's having a good season. And then fielding, they are a little below average. Just better, I'd say, than the Astros, but substantially worse than the Athletics. This is a kind of an interesting three teams because the Athletics and the Astros are almost doing it different, completely different ways, with both solid batting, one being a good pitching, one being a good fielding team. The Mariners are kind of splitting them completely. They're just kind of average all around the board, not doing anything great. Few solid pitchers, few solid defenders, a couple guys who can hit. Nothing crazy, but they're, you know, getting it done. They've been able to perform in some clutch situations. So I definitely don't think any of these teams are out of it. The interesting factor here is the Astros, obviously everybody has thought, oh, they're destined for the playoffs. That's not the case for sure. I mean, they could lose their lead today and be completely out of the lead tomorrow in that AL West. Say they lose two straight games, the Athletics and Mariners win two straight games. They're right in it. They're fighting for the second wild card at that point. I'm definitely not saying it's going to happen, but for all of the talk about how the Astros are could be favorites and they're so talented, there's a case that they could be out of the playoffs. So they're definitely not out of the woods yet. They need to really perform through September if they want to hold on to their playoff position. So that's going to do it for our This Week in Baseball segment. Just some quick housekeeping before we sign off today. If you like the podcast, definitely make sure you tell a friend, anyone who might be interested in baseball, anyone in the business, whoever you think might listen to it, please. It would mean the world to me if you would tell them. Definitely trying to grow our listener base even more than we have. Also, be sure to leave a review and a rating. A nice 4 or 5 star rating on whatever platform you're listening to would really help. I've got a lot of positive ratings, but we just don't have enough right now for something like iTunes to show the rating. So I definitely want to get that up there. And also definitely subscribe so you can see when I put out more episodes. Like I said, I'm going to continue to try to do one a week. Also, make sure you follow us on our website. You can do that at touchemallanalytics.com. That is touchemall. analytics.com, Touch 'em All Analytics. On Twitter, it is Touch 'em All BB, so touchemallbb. And Facebook and Instagram are both just straight Touch 'em All Analytics, spelled the same way as the website. Definitely contact us for any questions or comments. Like I said, definitely want to hear all of those. You can do that through our social media or through our website. Or you can also send us emails on our actual email account. That is touchemallanalytics, spelled like the website, at gmail.com. I'm definitely going to answer any questions I get, along with any related questions I will pass on through the podcast. One last thing, if you are enjoying this and you want something a little more in-depth, definitely check out our blog on our website. There is some more in-depth breakdowns of some analytics there that I think are really good. Some of that's done by me. Some are done by some writers I have hired. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening, and I will talk to you next time.
A swing and a belt, left field, way back. Touch 'em all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.